What did I say? Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. The web address, www.philhenryshow.com. Now, let me see if we actually got up our DVD of the week this week. It is Glengarry Glen Ross. There it is. And the quote is from Al Pacino, who plays the actor Ricky Roma in the film Glengarry Glen Ross. And our favorite line of the movie is the following. Quote, "You ever taken a dump that made you feel like you just slept for 8 hours? Now, I'm just waiting to see when that's going to get pulled down. But in the meantime, our babe of the week, Johnette Napolitano from Concrete Blonde. That's Chris Norton's babe of the week. And our affiliate of the week is KFH in Wichita. Thanks so much, guys. And we also got a very cool, this is the picture I was telling you guys about. It's a scrapbook photo of the week from our listener, Peter Ramsey. And Peter sends us two bumper stickers that he made, and it looks like he stuck them on the back of his truck. Can't tell if it's a truck or a car. Belhaven and Sewell in 08. And Walter Belhaven for president 2008. This dude's got two bumper stickers he made up. Now, naturally, I could claim copyright infringement, but that's not the spirit of this program. But I can see us making a couple of dollars with something like that. Tell you what, Peter, how do you want the credits to read on this? How do you want to split the capital on this? Speaking of that, go to our souvenir shop and pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. It is a beautiful thing. It's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. All of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And that is, when I say all the money, I mean all the money. So you can help the kids and get yourself a couple of giggles. It's two CDs. It's only $20. It's a beautiful thing. It's right there on our website in the souvenir shop. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. How many of you guys out there are married? I know you are, Harry, and I am, and there's a lot of guys that are married. This marriage thing has really got me. It's a tough one, baby. It's a toughie. It's tough. See, first of all, do you know that they say most people, why do you think most people get married? You might think it's sex. The reason why most people get married is for security. Security, meaning financial security, security against the world. And then I suppose there's the security of knowing you're never going to have to be looking around for a sexual partner. You know, there are no more nights sitting there saying, excuse me, miss, you know, no closing out bars. And of course, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're really looking good, aren't you? You're really ready to really just, you know, whatever ladies are left in the joint. But it isn't, you know, perhaps it isn't all about this. It's the security thing. And I wonder if that's why people stay married, even if they don't really feel like it. The other thing about marriage is it's really easy to give up on it. It's really easy to quit on it. I mean, we have a lot of people who quit on it all the time. And I when I was a kid, I saw my folks split up, and it was a bad scene, man. Let me tell you. I remember seeing a marshal. This is what my father did. I wanted to ask him. I never asked him about this. You know, he had to serve my mom with the divorce papers, and they had a marshal do it. Now, do you know what that's like, a cop? First of all, when you're a kid and you see a cop and he's coming to your house, it doesn't mean anything but bad. I don't know about any other kid. And to this day, when I see cops at my house, it's nothing but bad. I don't think anything good's happening. I can tell you this much. When I was driving, I was living in Atlanta at the time. I was working at WSB in Atlanta. Now, I'm driving home one day, and I had a little duplex that was right out on Montgomery Ferry Road was the name of this street, and was just down the street from the radio station. It was actually a very nice neighborhood. It was in, bordering the gay area in Atlanta, which was fine. It was okay. I mean, I'd go into Kroger's late at night. I'd get off the air at 2, go into Kroger's about 2:30, and there'd be guys there going, what kind of lotion for my skin do you think? I don't, and I'd be like, excuse me, I just want to get some of this baloney. And, it's no big thing. Anyway, so I'm driving home one night, and parked in my driveway is a cop car. Now, what would most people do if they see a cop car parked in their driveway? Pull over and find out what's going on. Not me. I kept right on driving. And I went around the block, and as I'm driving, I'm trying to think, all right, what warrants? Do I have any warrants? You know what I'm saying? I just kept on going and driving around. And finally, I said, no, I think I'm pretty good. And I pulled in, and the cop was actually visiting a friend of his who lived next door to me, but we shared the same driveway, so what have you. But when I was a kid, my old man served my mom with divorce papers using a marshal service. And I remember seeing this cop come to our house. And I remember the depressed and embarrassed look on my mother's face. And it's one of those things you kind of put out of your mind a little bit. You know, you don't think about it too often. Like it's somebody else's problem. When you think back on it, you think it was someone else's life. But I remember it very vividly. And it was at that time, and in preceding moments in my life when I heard my parents arguing and going through all kinds of crap, that I told myself that I would never again go through this, that I would never put any kids of mine through this. And, you know, when you make a promise, like I've often said to people, when you make a promise to yourself when you're a kid, it's a promise you probably ought to keep. You know, you're a little kid and you go, I am never going to do this. So, you know, my folks split up and eventually got divorced. And what I did was, from that point forward in my life, I didn't trust two things, money or family, because we were also broke. Just to add, you know, it's one thing when your family's falling apart. It's something else, oh yeah, there's no money. Oh, great. So you're living in a house, and you can no longer afford anything. And, you know, I remember coming home from school, there's nothing in the icebox. And eventually we had to move to an apartment where I slept on the couch. That was my senior year in high school, I was sleeping on the couch. And I would go down, I would shoplift food. And at the time, I thought I was just shoplifting because it was the sport. You know, it was kind of like I was Oliver Twist, you know, or what was that kid's name? Jack the Dodger or some crap like that. It was a kid that... And Ben Fagan, if ever there was like a pederast, come on. What is with this Oliver Twist? Don't we recognize what Charles Dickens was writing about there? Ben Fagan was a chicken hawk. Oh, man.
Oliver Twist is such a wonderful story about
some old fruit with his cute little boys. What was that anyway? I used to think it was the art of shoplifting, but I realized I was hungry. I was hungry. I wanted something to eat. But you don't let yourself, you never say that. You don't say to yourself, oh gosh, I'm so hungry, I have to go steal for food. You go, I think I'll go down to the store and see what I can get away with today. I would go down and I'd have the butcher wrap me up a big, thick sirloin steak. And when I say thick, I'm telling you, what's that, about 3-4 inches? Big, fat, yes, sir, what else would you like? No, that'll do it today, Eddie. Okay, great. And I was so skinny, I could slip it right down the front of my pants and then pull my jacket over it. Out the door I went, no problem. So I'd take this piece of meat, big, thick piece of meat, wrap it up. How could you let him misunderstand that?
All I heard was 4 inches of meat, and I immediately thought of you.
Yeah, thanks. Forget it, man.
No, go ahead. I want to hear the story.
No, forget it. I'm not going to tell you.
But come on, I'm sorry.
No, I will. I'm not going to go into it anymore. I was sharing some intimate things about my life. Very, very intimate things about my life.
Are you telling people how many inches of meat you can take in a pan? Ow!
Not that intimate. In any event, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The single most insulting photograph in the tabloids, and I haven't been up on the tabloids, but what we look for, really, are photographs that were taken of anybody, and they're usually stars, that show them in the least, not even just the least flattering light, that doesn't even begin to describe it, but looking just like, for the longest time, as you know, Kirstie Alley, who was on Cheers and a lot of shows, and really, I thought, when she was, you know, in her physically fit days, she was a beautiful woman. But they've got pictures, they had pictures of her that were just brutal. I mean, there were literally, you're right, Mark just was reminding me of one. There's one where she's literally with the heel of her hand shoving an entire burrito supreme in her car, like parked in an alley, so no one will see. So some photographer like climbed on a garbage can, and there she is just shoving it in with the wrapper still on it. Don't, no calls from Hall. I said shove it in a burrito, bud. And then they had another one of her where she was like in a sweatsuit with the gut hanging down and all that kind of stuff. So they really were brutal with her. And now the other thing, they love to say that an actress is too skinny or she's too fat. No wonder these kids are anorexic, right? I mean, no wonder these teenage girls are like almost in mental institutions on account of this weight thing. Because one minute, oh, look at what a tub of gut Sandra Bullock has become. And the next minute, oh, that poor Lindsay Lohan. She looks like she just crawled out of a Biafran dumpster. Like, they got this picture here of Lindsay Lohan. She's looking really bad, right? She's all skinny. Then they show her the way she really should have been looking. Well, she's got a gut hanging down. Well, that's the same way Kirstie Alley looked, and they got her with the Burrito Supreme. No wonder these poor kids are, like, ready to blow their freaking brains out. I think there's going to be an Armageddon of skinny 14-year-old girls. I think they're going to run around with meat cleavers and just do in everybody. You know, like Night of the Living Dead? Only it won't be like zombies. It'll be 14-year-old girls with meat cleavers. There's a... Oh, God, that's a great movie. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, how do you want the credits to read?
Great. Oh, I dig it. Now, you want a flick? Hey, Spielberg, here it is. An Army of the Night, or some crap like that, all 14-year-old girls driven insane by the mixed messages of the culture, and they've armed themselves with knives from the kitchen at the house. And they all go running around, and they're just, like, stabbing people in their beds. The Army's alerted, the Air Force. There's all kinds of detoxifying cats in those, you know, hazmat suits are trying to figure the whole thing out. You got a whole team of rednecks with rifles. Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. There goes another one. Some little kid running by. She's got on her freaking hip huggers or whatever. Yeah, I like it. Anyway, speaking of these photographs... So they got the cover here of Lindsay Lohan. This is poor little kid. I say little kid. I don't know. She's probably about 50, but she is very skinny, and it's probably some agent. But probably the worst photograph here is of Dennis Rodman, who put on a pair of panties, and he's got tats all over. He's like the Illustrated Man now. Have you seen Rodman lately? His hair is green. He looks like Rod Steiger in the Illustrated Man. He's got two nipple rings. He's sexually very alluring. And I'll tell you what, he's hot, man. Now they got another one here of Ivana Trump, and she's in a little, like a go-ped, one of them little, carts you can run around in, with her dress up over her head. That's pretty nice. And then they got a whole spread here on a new movie, Bewitched. And Shirley MacLaine plays the, What's the old lady, the old bag that was the grandmother?
Endora,
yeah. Shirley MacLaine plays Endora. And it ain't the most flattering picture of Shirley MacLaine either. Oh, you mean that's just her makeup in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was... Now I got another picture here of, here she is, Eva Longoria, and man, is her rear end big. Here's another picture here. Looks like, I don't know who it is, but, oh, yeah. It's Prince Charles. Look at those ears. So, in other words, what you have here is a incredible, and poor little Ashley Olsen. You know, that's another kid that had that anorexia, right? Then wasn't she addicted to, like, pain pills or something, and she had to finally go and dry out? And the most recent picture they had of her in here... is she looked like, I don't know I can't even describe it. I mean, it looked like she'd been in like a mental institution. No sun, big dark circles under her eyes. And she's carrying like a bag, and there's a, you know, they catch him in the most inopportune moments. The girl's coming out of a store, and there's a bag, and there's a big thing coming to the top. Tampons, you know, and there she is. And the guy, click, as if that's bad, you know. She's got a big-ass hat on, because you don't want anybody to see her. Big baggy pants. I mean, the whole idea is to stay incognito. She's got to run to the store. She's got to get some stuff. I mean, it's not been a good year. So following along some jackball, and I know those guys got to make a living. A lot of those guys pride themselves on being utter bum. They pride themselves on being utterly without any compassion or any compunction or morality. Some of those photographers are guys that just, oh, yeah, I love it. I got a picture of them the other day. It was fantastic, right? She was miscarrying right in the middle of Wilshire. It was great. I mean, they love it. So anyway, they got this picture of this poor little Ashley Olsen. She's coming out of the thing, and she's got a big box that's coming out of the top of this. Is like, you know, Tampax, extra slim, you know, and there it is. It's like the time they got that picture of Marlon Brando. It couldn't have been worse. The guy's coming out of Walmart, and he's got 117 rolls of toilet paper and one big box of Hostess chocolate donuts. You're kidding.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I got to get you out of here.
That's all right, man. You know what, Hall? You're what's wrong with this business. You know that?
Oh, get you, the big working class hero.
Now, you're what's wrong with this business. The whole stinking, rotten infrastructure of radio. You. Why don't you go back to Washington, D.C., man? Brush your teeth first before you go see the FCC.
You got a filthy mind, Henry. That's your problem.
You're a mental case. Somebody ought to lock you up in a nut bin.
Get him out of there, Roscoe.
Come on, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry, sir.
It's all right. I'm leaving. Good luck, bud.
I gotta do a show?
Yeah, you're gonna do the show.
See you later, bud.
Get out of there, Henry.
I hope you die, man. I hope you die of a heart attack, you fat pig.
I'll remember that.
Hey, Ashley Olsen's got a big box, man.
You there, bud?
Yeah, man, I'm right here.
All right, go.
What do I...
Do a talk show, go!
I'm Bud Dickman, and this is the talk show. If you want to call up and talk about...
We'll talk about a topic. Get one.
Ashley Olsen has a box on her that...
Not that one, you jackass! That's what I just fired him for!
NBC is going to pull a plug on the 9/11 miniseries. What do you think about that? Call up now and register your opinion on the Phil Henry...
It ain't the, it's the Bud Dickman Show.
On the Bud Dickman Show. Call up now. Phil Henry is not here. Mr. Henry was fired tonight by David Hall, because he said that Ashley Olsen had a big box. And actually what he was saying was that Ashley Olsen had...
Hold on for a minute. But this is David G. Hall. Excuse me, folks. Don't keep saying that she's got a big box. That's why I fired him.
All right, but I want to get people's opinion on it. You get...
Why do you want to get people's opinion? I don't want you talking about that. I want you talking about stuff that people talk about on talk radio. Talk about the budget or some crap like that.
What budget?
The one that Bush has.
Has he got a big budget?
Oh, getting smart with me. All right, you're fired. Get out of there.
But wait a minute.
Get out of there. I got another guy here. Hit line two.
Is...
Wait a minute. Is this Mr. Bonafide, Mr. Wireman?
Yes, this is Mr. Wireman here.
Mr. Bonafide, Mr. Wireman there?
No, this is Mr. Bonafide.
Well, who are you?
I'm Mr. Wireman and Bonafide. I'm kidding. I've been drinking.
Well, where's this Wireman guy? I'm Harvey Wireman. Who's yelling at me? David G. Hall, are you guys ready? Yes, we're ready, for Christ.
Look at Hall. Is that your name?
Yeah.
Just get off the line before I come to your house and I tear your eyeballs out and make passionate love to your skull. Get out. You want to start or should I start?
You go ahead and start.
This is Lloyd Bonafide.
And I'm Harvey Wireman, and welcome to... Memories are made of this. I want to mention that I think President Bush is doing an outstanding job. And any one of these anti-war people, you're invited to come to my house and tell me to my face, because, boy, would I love to put to good use a Japanese samurai sword I took off of this turkey on Saipan. He was a dead Jap, but he was a Jap nonetheless. I took this sword home and I mounted it on the wall, hoping that someday one of you people would come to my front door.
Now, let me tell you something. Don't you ever talk to me like that. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
I'll deal with you later. Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and welcome to my program called Cavalcade of Cows. Now, I don't mean to be injurious to the reputations of these fine women, but they have let their bodies go to hell in a handbasket. That's why today on Cavalcade of Cows, we're going to concentrate on four Hollywood starlets who at one time might, and let me underline the word might, have been beautiful. But instead now, they're beasts, overgrown, large, layers and layers of fat oozing from their bodies. Why? We don't know. Maybe it's because they can't stay away from the pantry. Maybe it's because that anything that comes in a box, they eat.
Jesus.
Now, starting here on Cavalcade of Cows, Kate Hudson. Wasn't she gloriously beautiful in Almost Famous? Wasn't she just the new ingenue? We all loved Kate, her simple way, her very simple beauty. And yet today, June 2005, she's a monstrosity. Fat, big ass, oh. Moving along, Kate Blanchett. I'm sure we all enjoyed her in Aviator, The Aviator. I'm sure you remember her as Kate Hepburn, yeah? Did you like that? Great. Those days are dead. Her gut now hangs out. Her rear end, you have to bust out a door to get her through it. And the kisser on this woman, which has never been all that great, is even more frightening. I think it's because all of that fat in her gut is pulling on the skin in her face. Moving along here on Cavalcade of Cows, I bring you to a young girl whose physical deterioration pains me. It really does pain me because I find her to be a great actress, and I thought she was also very lovely. And yet today, she's allowed her gut to move to an enlarged 86 million inches across. Sarah Jessica Parker, with that schnoz on her, that's the only thing bigger than her schnoz is her gut and her ass. Way to go, Sarah. Way to go. Way to take God's handiwork and just squeeze one all over it. Finally, a woman who I really had no great respect for because I found her slut-like. I found her to be a bit of a gold digger. I found the woman to be wanton, almost harlot-like. When she married Michael Douglas, those suspicions were confirmed. Yes, I'm speaking of Catherine Zeta-Jones. Never a great-looking woman. She did cut a very classic figure. But now the rear end on her would take 6 truck axe handles. I'm Margaret Gray, and we'll take your phone calls now on Cavalcade of Cows. Hello, Bobby, you're on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware of the fact that all 4 of the women you just mentioned are pregnant. And
I'm sorry?
They're all pregnant. That's why their stomachs are so big.
Well, how does that explain the butts?
Your butt gets big, too.
Well, I don't understand. They all look like slobs.
Well, they're pregnant. All of the women are pregnant.
All right, I've had enough of this. Hold it for a minute. Is that you? Yeah, I'm not going to listen to this crap.
What happened?
I don't know.
All right, I got to take back over. It was my music. I'm sorry, Conrad. I just... Clifton. I called Clinton. I called Clinton Conrad. I'm sorry, but I've been talking with security and trying to get them to let me back up here. Everything was fine, even when I heard Margaret's Cavalcade of Cows. But as soon as I heard Herb going into his people I'd like to take into my basement, that was the end of that. I will tell you that our email is phs@philhendryshow.com and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. We're planning some more webcasts for you guys. If you missed our webcast, it is online. And I wanted to get to just a little bit of email. I don't care if Hall's on the phone. I'm not taking his call. Do you understand?
You're going to be really mad.
I don't give a crap. If I'm fired, I won't be back tomorrow night. How about that? Does that make you feel better, bud? You feel like you've done your job? Phil, here are a few favorite lines of ours. Margaret Gray said, go douche with Drano. Brad and Lisa. Here's one of those letters that I got. Basically, this guy wrote a big, long email about how Bush was a complete and utter idiot. And I know what it was. He says, now that you've been proven wrong about the war, and I wrote to him, I said, how was I proven wrong? I said, the war is still continuing. It's tough, but it's going to be won. And the average American soldier, here's one that really bugs him. The average American soldier has more care and concern for the Iraqi people than all the anti-war protesters put together.